This is Getting to Know Your Bible, a program dedicated to the proclaiming of the good news of Jesus Christ. Here's Billy Lambert.
The Bible says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. What you think, you are. You become what you think about day in and day out. Today we want to talk about the battle for the minds of men. And there indeed is a battle raging today to capture our minds, our thoughts, which indeed captures the entirety of our lives. I'm Billy Lambert, and I'm the regular speaker on Getting to Know Your Bible. And I want to welcome you today. And I want to encourage you to continue to watch today. I believe this is perhaps one of the most important topics I will have discussed in a long time. The battle that is raging today for the minds of men and women, boys and girls. Now, today on Getting to Know Your Bible, we are offering a free Bible correspondence course. I emphasize the course is absolutely free. And we want to pause long enough right now so you can learn more about the course and how you can receive it.
To help you in your study of the Bible, we want to send you this Bible correspondence course. This course is non-denominational. It's based on the Bible. It's conducted by mail and it's free. To receive this course, write to Getting to Know Your Bible, P.O. Box 314, Summerdale, Alabama, 36580. Or call toll-free 1-877-711-5214.
Today I want to direct your attention to the book of 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, and I'm going to begin the reading in verse number 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. To me, this is a challenging reading. And it tells us about a battle that is raging today. This is not a battle of flesh and blood. This is not a battle man against man. That's in verse 3. And the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not missiles. They're not guns. They're not tanks. And then Paul says the weapon that we have is mentioned in verse number 4. And this is our weapon. Our weapons are mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. God is our weapon. And when we have God on our side, we cannot be defeated. Now, the strategy in this battle for the minds of men is, number one, to pull down Satan's strongholds. Number two, to cast down everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And number three, to bring every thought into captivity to Jesus Christ through obedience to Christ. So we want to think about the battle for the minds of men. I want us to call attention, first of all, to some of the passages in the Bible, especially the New Testament, that refer to the mind of an individual. In Deuteronomy, the 6th chapter, this is in the Old Testament, Moses said, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of thy heart, with all of thy soul, and with all of thy mind." So we're to love God with our mind. Then again in Isaiah the 26th chapter and verse 3, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee." And now from the New Testament, Philippians the 4th chapter, verse 6, verse 7, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God that passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." And then again in Romans the 12th chapter, verse 1 and 2, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." Renewal of the mind. And then again, in Romans, the 1st chapter and verse 28, Paul is talking about the degenerate people of his time, and God gave them over to a reprobate mind. They had a mind that was against God. They were haters of God, despisers of anything that was good or holy. Then in Philippians, the 2nd chapter and verse 5, "Have this mind in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." And then there's a very good passage found in Philippians, the 4th chapter and verse number 8. "Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are noble, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things." Now the word mind is not used in that passage, but it's implied, because we think with our minds. And so there are lots of other passages where the word mind is used in the Bible. But we're thinking about how Satan wages a battle against mankind, the battle for the minds of men. Our actions are determined by our minds. It was Solomon in Proverbs the 23rd chapter and verse 7 who said, "As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he." The mind of man is a very powerful thing. It can accomplish great things. Or there's a story in the book of Nehemiah about the children of God coming back out of captivity, finding the walls torn down. And they rebuilt those walls in 52 days. How did they do it? Nehemiah chapter 4 and verse 6 contains the answer. The people had a mind to work. It is important in all areas of life, that is, our thinking, our mind, our attitude. And when we talk about a person's attitude, we're talking about their mind, what they do with their mind, how they think, how they respond to different situations in life. And the control of our mind and having the correct attitude of mind is important in everything we do in life. It's important in sports. The coaches have learned that it's very vital not just to prepare athletes physically, but they have to also prepare them mentally and emotionally. You see, the mind is so powerful that If an individual does not have the right mindset going into an athletic contest, then it's going to change and determine what the outcome of that game is going to be. We need to have the right mind. We need to think right. It's important in education. We need to have a mind to study. If you want to be a scholar, there are a lot of would-be scholars. That is, they would really like to be a good scholar, but they don't have a mind to work. They don't think that it's important for them to study. And so you got to have the right attitude about it. So it's important in everything that we do in life. And remember this, as you think in your heart, so are you. What you think, you are. You see, there are certain things that control our minds. Number one, we have to watch our minds. We have to watch, therefore, what we see. There are certain things that we ought not to gaze upon or to look on or see. The Bible refers to those whose eyes were full of adultery. That is, they had to have things to look upon that would create lust and desire in their hearts. So if you're going to have the right mind, you've got to watch what you see. Secondly, if you're going to have the right mind and control your mind, you have to watch what you hear. If a person is always eager to listen to some kind of salacious gossip or something that's off color, then they're going to have a difficult time winning the battle with the devil, because we have to watch what we hear if we want to control our minds. And then third, we must watch what we read. Garbage in, garbage out. In Psalms 119 in verse 11, David said, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." The Bible is one of the greatest preventatives of sin there is. And yet so many people do not use it. I want you to imagine that I have in my hand a wire wastebasket. Try to imagine that you can see it. I know it's imaginary. What would you think of me if I told you that we were going to fill this wire wastebasket full of water? Well, you said that would be a very futile thing, because you'll never fill a wire wastebasket with water. I understand that. But I tell you what we will do. We're going to have the cleanest wire wastebasket there is in town. If we try to fill it with water and let water filter through that wire wastebasket. David said in Psalms 119 in verse 11, "Your word is hid in my heart that I might not sin against you." You see, when we filter something good through our minds, we take the pure word of God and we let that filter through our minds and our thinking processes, it's going to push the impurities out of our mind and the impurities out of our heart. So it's a great preventative to sin. So if we're going to control our minds, we have to watch what we read. Sin always starts in the mind. It starts in the mind. In Matthew 15 and 19, Jesus said, "Out of the heart proceed." And then he talked about things like adultery and murder and the like. But another one of the things that Jesus referred to was evil thoughts. It is out of the heart of man, out of the mind of man, that evil thoughts come forth. So sin starts in the mind. And if Satan, think about it now, Satan is not your friend. He's not my friend. He's no one's friend. And if Satan can control your mind, he can control you. That's the reason Paul said we need to pull down the strongholds, cast down arguments in every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And that's exactly what Satan has done and is doing. He's exalted himself against God. And he would like to destroy everything that exists that has any connection with God, and that includes the church, that includes the Bible, that includes your children, that includes your family, that includes your home, that includes you. He wants to destroy us. And if he can control your mind, then he can control you. If he can control your speech, he can control you. In Matthew, the 4th chapter, Jesus said, beginning about verse 34, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Out of the good treasure of the heart proceed evil things. Out of the evil treasure of the heart proceed evil things. And then Jesus said, every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. For by your words you're going to be justified, and by your words you're going to be condemned. Satan wants to control your speech. And there are so many words in the English language, but some people have such a narrow vocabulary because they can hardly carry on a conversation. They can hardly say anything without saying something that is vulgar, something that is coarse, something that is sinful, because Satan has control of their minds. And because he has control of their minds, he has control of their speech. He would like to control you as a Christian. He wants to control what you think about. Do you realize that what you think about, in all probability, is what you're going to do? I really believe that if you think about something long enough, you're going to do it. So suppose that I were began to reason like this. You know, Billy, you used to fish a lot. As a matter of fact, I can remember in my younger days as a preacher that I tried to go about 2 afternoons a week fishing with my son. But you know, I haven't done any fishing in a long time. But suppose that I sat around for days upon end thinking about fishing. And I began to think about what I could do if I were to go fishing. If I thought about it long enough, I might say, you know, I think I'll get the dust off of my fishing gear, and I think I'm going to go down to the Gulf and go down to the pier down at Gulf Shores, Alabama, and I think I'm going to fish a while. Or here's a person, they sit around day after day thinking about robbing banks. That first of all, they don't have a very good character to begin with. They've been in trouble with the law most all of their life. But they've never robbed a bank before. So they begin to think about robbing banks. And if they think about it long enough, the chances are one day they're going to try to rob a bank. Whatever you put in your mind controls your actions. It controls what's in your heart. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Or, as some put it, what you think, you are. So we need to think about good things. I believe that whatever the mind of man can conceive and believe, that the mind of man can achieve with a positive attitude. But let me change that just a little. I believe that whatever the mind of man can conceive and believe and conceive, the mind of man can achieve with a positive spiritual attitude. And that's what I would encourage. You see, we're talking about winning the battle that we're fighting for our minds. So how are we going to win the battle? Let me give you some things that I believe will help us to win. Number one, we need to watch what we put in our minds. Garbage in, garbage out. Good in, good out. So number one, watch what you put in your mind. Number two, only think on good things. Think good thoughts. Let me go back to a passage that I made reference to earlier in the book of Philippians, the 4th chapter and verse number 8. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are noble, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, Whatsoever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there's any praise, think on these things. You see, if we want to win the battle, and if we want to think good thoughts, let's find ourselves thinking about things that are true. Think about true things. Let's think about things that are noble. Let's think about things that are just, things that are pure, things that are lovely, things that are of good report. Fill our minds full of good thoughts, good things. And that's going to help us to win this battle for our minds. Number three, we need to renew our minds. I'll go back again to one of the passages to which I referred earlier, Romans the 12th chapter, where Paul began that chapter, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds." Now let's think about that verse for just a moment. Don't be conformed to this world. One version says, do not allow the world to squeeze you into its mold. And the way the world squeezes you into its mold is when we let down our guard and we live too close to things we ought not to live close to. I have a wallet in my pocket. I carry it with me most everywhere I go. And if I were to take it out and show it to you, we'll see that there's a curvature in that wallet. And if I were to lay it down on this table that I'm sitting in front of, then you would see that it's not flat. It's a sort of a curve to the wallet. Now, why is that? Well, the reason there's a curvature to the wallet is because where I wear it is close to my body. And the wallet has conformed to the curvature of my body. And when you start living close to the world and things that are worldly in nature, things that you know in your own heart that are not good for you, and you start playing with fire, you're going to get burned every time. And when you start doing that, the world is going to squeeze you into its mold. But rather than being squeezed into the mold of the world, being conformed to this world, we need to be transformed. We need to be changed by the renewing of our minds and the changing of the thoughts that we have in our minds. That's the way that we win the battle for the mind of man. Number four, we need to fix our minds on things that transcend this world. You know, largely speaking, people that live on planet Earth are looking down. Young people are looking down. Have you ever been in the grocery and you see a mother shopping and she's got some children following her and they're looking down as they follow their mother? Of course, they're looking down because they're looking to their cell phones. But that's somewhat symbolic of what we're all doing in life. We're just looking down at things that pertain to this world and this world alone. But if we want to win this battle, we've got to fix our attention on things that are not of this world. That's why in the book of Colossians, chapter 3 and verse 2, Paul said, set your affections on things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. So we need to set our affections on things that are high and holy and things that pertain not just to this world, but the world which is to come. And that's going to help us control our thoughts. Number six, realize who you are. Do you really know who you are? Well, if you're made in God's image. Ethel Waters once said, God don't make no junk. I believe that. We're created in the image of God. Genesis 1:26-28. You need to see yourself as a spiritual being. You have a body, but your soul and the spirit of man lives within that body. You really are a dual being, composed of body and spirit, body and soul. James tells us in the 2nd chapter of James, as the body without the spirit is dead, even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead being alone. We die when there's a separation of the body and the spirit. See yourself as a spiritual being that's going to live somewhere in eternity. And then realize that you are a child of the King of Kings. You belong to Jesus. And realize that you are a new creation in Jesus. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. 2 Corinthians 5:17. And if we want to renew our minds, realize we're headed for another world. Solomon said, man goes to his long home, and the mourners go about the streets. Or ever the silver cord be loosed, or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel be broken at the cistern, then shall the dust return unto the earth as it was, and the Spirit unto God who gave it. To win this battle, you must give your life to Jesus. Turn your life over to Him today. By believing in Him with all of your heart, John 8:24. By being willing to repent or turn from sin, Luke 13:3. Be willing to acknowledge that He is the Son of God, Romans 10:9-10. And as a penitent confessing believer in Jesus, give your life to Him by being buried with your Lord in the waters of baptism, Romans 6:3-4. In the closing moments, I would like to give you a very personal invitation to visit the Church of Christ in your community. If you're not certain where it's located, you contact us. We will get that information for you. And right now, pick up the telephone and call for the free Bible correspondence course. Please do that without hesitation or delay. And until we meet again, may the Lord bless you and may the Lord keep you. Is my fervent prayer.
Getting to Know Your Bible has been presented by Churches of Christ. If you have a question about the church, or if you would like the location of a Church of Christ near you, or to receive the free Bible course, write to Getting to Know Your Bible, P.O. Box 314, Summerdale, Alabama 36580, or call 1-877-711-5214. Join us next time for Getting to Know Your Bible. Reach up and grow.